Welcome to Local Music Somewhere, where your voice is always heard. On our Beats radio and media streaming service for today's hot and trending topics. Now let's get into it.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Local Music Somewhere on rbeats.com. And we're here in the rbeats studio. And what we do on Local Music Somewhere is, of course, we interview local artists in different regions. And we concentrate on different cities. But we also interview people that can help those artists that have advice that would help them in the early stages of what they're doing. My guest today in the studio is a world-class jazz vocalist. She's a voiceover artist. She is a speaker. She's a mentor. And wait, there's more. She's also an actress who made her debut in the original Color Purple, and she's had multiple projects since then. We're going to talk about her latest one coming up towards the end of the interview today. Welcome to RB Studio, Maria Howell.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, my gosh. You just do so many things. You know, it's like coming up, we have a movie premiere that I'm going to that you're actually at, and because you're in that film, and so you're going to play an important role there. My wife, who a lot of people know as Queen Charlotte, she makes appearances as Queen Charlotte. We were doing the Queen Charlotte Ball. You were honored there.
Yeah.
And then I go to Middle C, and you're on stage there doing things. You're just all over the place. I see you on screens. I see you. I was watching TV with my mom and brother, and they had this. I can't remember honestly what show it was, but you were I think the attorney in this particular show.
Well, I always ask people, how was my hair?
You looked great.
Because if you tell me the hairdo, I can tell you which show. Okay.
I think this one, you had curly, a little bit curlier hair.
It could have been Criminal Minds or The Resident.
Yeah, but yeah. It was just such a great role. So
thank you.
When you have multiple talents like this, and one of the focuses we're going to have, because I think this is important to artists out there, because nowadays, a lot of people have multiple talents. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not just a singer. They're a singer and entrepreneur. Most singers now are entrepreneurs. Yeah. But they might be a singer-songwriter. They might be a singer-actor. They might be a singer-speaker. You know, I've seen a lot of these things in place. And so branding of your name is very important. Mm-hmm. And you have done this masterfully. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But first, let's talk about, how did you get started, and what was it that you started with? Was it the acting, or was it the singing?
Interestingly, it was the singing in an acting role.
Oh, really?
If that makes sense. Or acting with singing as part of it. It was the original Color Purple in 1985, and the role just called for singing. And then I think of 5 years between that and my next acting role, it was like 5 years. I really wanted to start out singing.
Oh, well, how did you fall in love with more of the jazz side of singing?
I've always loved jazz. I actually don't consider myself a jazz vocalist. I consider myself more of a stylist and more of a storyteller because, you know, Nancy Wilson is one of my favorites. And Nancy Wilson did not ever categorize herself.
Yeah.
And I could relate to that simply because I love all kinds of genres. Now, jazz was always like the thing that resonated with me because I loved Sarah Vaughan.
No, you have that smooth sound like
Billie
that.
Thank you so much. And Billie Holiday and all of those, all Ernestine Anderson. So I listened to a lot of that as a teenager when a lot of my friends were not listening. So I just had a serious affinity.
And so what was your first live performance?
My first live performance?
As a singer.
As a professional singer was at Jonathan's Jazz Cellar.
Oh, I remember Jonathan's
Jazz
Cellar.
In Charlotte, North Carolina. Yep, yep.
That's a place that's highly missed. Of course, we have some great jazz clubs now in the city of Charlotte.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that was a great place.
That's where I made my debut.
So I noticed you're doing things with Noel, too. How did that even form?
Noel Friedline. Oh, my gosh. The infamous Noel Friedline. We, every year, and this is about my 12th year, I think, at the Beckler Museum.
Oh, yeah.
I start the season, the whole series, Jazz at the Beckler with Ziad Rabia. And when they had me 1 year, I forgot where I was living. But I came in, they flew me in, and Noel Friedline was the piano player. And we just hit it off, and here we are 12 years later.
Yeah, and you have recordings together, right?
We do.
Okay. So how do you balance the singing and acting thing going on right now?
I actually take it one day at a time. I think you have to be a great time manager, and I understand the power of no. I don't take everything. I say no. People would be surprised. I say no to more things than I say yes to.
And the more you grow as a brand, you have to. You can't always just say no to the bad. The hardest thing is saying no to the good.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially when they're things that maybe you've always wanted to do, but mm-hmm. don't fit the specific things that you're trying to build right now. Yeah. And have you had anything like that?
I mean,
you don't have to name it, but like, what is an example of something that...
When there is a big movie and you've had your heart set on it, and you know you don't, not just your schedule won't allow it, but you just cannot do it for other reasons. Those situations have occurred, and I've had to say no. And in some cases, I've actually suggested other actors or voiceover actors when it comes to voiceovers. It just depends. Or singing. It doesn't matter. If there's something I know I cannot do and it just may not be right for my spirit, I just say no.
Yeah, because it can block some of the things you're doing. Yeah. And this is the importance of branding a name. Even with bands, I feel that specific members of the band mm-hmm. that need to have their own, you know, pages, their own social media as well, their own branding. I've seen bands that have done so well because the lead singer has done a solo branding thing as well.
Right.
Maybe it's in informational videos, it might be instructional, whatever it is, it's caused people to want to show up, you know, to see the band.
Right.
And in the case of a soloist who is acting, who is singing, who is doing voiceover work, which so many people approach me with voiceover work alone that they're trying to find a way into that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just you have a good voice. There's a lot more.
Oh, trust me.
Yeah. And we'll go into that here in a moment.
That's a whole other story.
But then, you know, speaking and mentoring, that you have established your name. I mean, there's mm-hmm. so many people that know the name, Maria Howe, mm-hmm. and it's because of how you've branded. And a good example also that I was reading in this book about, I think it was branding and marketing. I mm-hmm. wish I could remember the book, but they were talking about Julie Andrews
mm-hmm.
and how, you know, she built her career on being an actress that also was a singer,
mm-hmm.
but there came a time that she lost her voice.
Mm.
But because she had built that branding, she was able to launch a children's book
mm-hmm.
that did really well for her because her branding was there. And that shows the importance of branding, especially with a singing voice. You could have a vocal surgery tomorrow. You could have an accident or something that takes away the voice. And what are you doing next?
That's right.
You know, you're
not
having to start all over. If you built that brand and people know your name, it helps open a lot of doors.
This is true. And for me, I tend to follow my calling and my passions more than I do the actual industry, because I figure that if you're, and I've said this before, if you are following fame or, you know, trying to strive for fame, you may fall and be hurt, and you don't want that. So I look at my life first of all. What is it that's my calling? My calling, I think, is to share positivity, to teach, to storytell, you know, and these are the platforms, the singing, the voiceover, and the acting. Those are platforms in which I can do those things.
So right. That's your storytelling really, through songs.
I really
focus
there.
Through speaking.
Yeah.
Film.
Yeah.
One of the greatest, you know, avenues for storytelling, as a matter of fact. And, you know, with these, each discipline, you have to show up with your best.
That's right.
You know, we all saw, you know, a lot of people heard about the Tom Brady roast and brings Tom Brady back into your memory. But that is a great example of somebody, when they were given an opportunity, they showed up.
Yeah.
And they showed up again and they showed up again.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Whenever you're given something, you have to show up and build that relationship, you know, over time with your audience.
Yeah.
And
to know what your gifts and talents are and to grow them, because that's everybody's individual responsibility. So even with the public speaking, I mean, I'm constantly on stage speaking, but if I wanted to grow to some other heights, there is some work I have to do.
Yeah.
And which that's what I do.
And if you want a real sustaining career, this is something I see taught in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
It's taught in other forms too, is finding more and more and more and more followers. Just getting your name out there in front of everybody. I grew up a pastor's son.
Mm.
And my dad, when he stopped evangelizing, became a pastor, and it was very important to shepherd people.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these people on your page that you have impact on. You can build the relationships. You can shepherd. They're already following what you do. And that is way more important, the engagement.
I think so.
And the fact that they know you actually care about them.
I agree.
And when you're talking about, I'm not following the industry, you don't have to. You have to be there, authentic, for the people that are following you.
Yeah.
And showing up. Yeah. And that's what you're doing.
So thank you.
In your mentor work, can we talk about that a moment?
Please, yeah.
I know you do it in several ways. You're on the board of a few things. Mm-hmm. Probably still on the board for Tosco.
Yes.
We've had him on the show. Mm-hmm. Great organization.
Absolutely.
What else are you doing like that?
One organization, which I'm doing something for this weekend, is the Students Without Mothers, where we raise scholarship funds for high school seniors who don't have their mothers, whether that's through death or incarceration or any other unfortunate circumstance. Another one I'm involved with is the James M. Dixon Foundation, which deals with Alzheimer's and dementia and research. Then there's another one, Ava's Heart, and all about transplantation. And then, of course, Tosco Music, and that goes without saying, that deals with music and the education and uplifting right. of aspiring artists, and, you know, doing workshops for them and helping to just fortify, and just not just to fortify the next generation, but also to fortify us as artists. So that's very important to me as well.
And when you say you have something you're doing this weekend, mm-hmm. I was going to hold that for the end of the show, but I want to talk about it a little bit okay. more right now, if we can. Tell us what you're doing this. Well, I try, you know, we're kind of evergreen here because these videos have life, but at the same time, this is an important thing and it's coming up soon. So
absolutely.
If for the people that are watching live, tell us more about that
well,
event.
Well, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary. I've been on the board for more than 12 years. So this is our 20th year anniversary, and we are celebrating that. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's based out of Atlanta, but people have supported me throughout the years with, you know, sponsorships and donating, what have you. But it's really a touching, and we were just featured on the Kelly Clarkson show, too. But it's really close to my heart simply because I was in college on a scholarship, so I know the importance of that. I didn't know what it was like to not have my mom. I couldn't imagine that. So being involved with this organization and talking to the students themselves, there are some really special students, not just women. I mean, sometimes people get it mixed up, but it's all about high school seniors, male, female, right. what have you. And just to hear their stories, I don't think there's ever an event that I've attended where I'm not in tears, because these are resilient children. I say children now because I'm at that place. I can say that. But these are resilient young people who just somehow managed to survive. It is amazing to watch their strength and their tenacity. And then they graduate and then they come back and talk about how Students Without Mothers has helped them. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing.
Yeah. And having somebody positive there mm-hmm. at the beginning, it changes the whole mindset.
Yeah.
It makes you feel more capable to grow into what you need to be.
Absolutely.
And when you're missing that,
I can't imagine it. And these kids, they're always having a life coach. We give them laptop computers.
Wow.
We assist them throughout the year because we have several fundraisers. But this particular one that I am spearheading, the entertainment, I have a concept I started a long, long time ago called Girls in Gowns. I've always wanted to grow up and wear gowns. I started to wear one today, but I decided not to. At any rate, I was just joking. You know, so
I was just thinking, I think I've attended something with you.
Yeah,
on this.
Girls in Gowns. Yeah. And it's I wanted to grow up and sing in a gown because I wanted to be like those elegant vocalists. And so I formed an all-female jazz trio.
Michelle Renee. Is that what I came to see with that?
You may. Yes, that okay. was one of them. Yes, okay. yes, yes. Michelle Renee, she's a dear friend. But I started this in Atlanta when I resided there, and they've loved the concept. And so for the 20th anniversary, we're bringing that back as part of the entertainment.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So you're doing this as part of this event. Mm-hmm. That's really great.
Yeah.
And with your voiceover, mm-hmm. let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay.
How did you get into that? And what are some steps people need to take towards that? Since they've asked me so many times, mm-hmm. that would be a good thing to know.
I think just like the acting and the voiceover, they were both natural segues out of singing because I was always on stage. But I started professionally doing voiceover work maybe about 15 years ago. And I got into it, believe it or not. There was a DJ from Denmark. Never met him in person. DJ Power, man of the hour, sent me something through social media and asked me to do his IDs. So I did it. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. So I used to do jingles back in the day.
That's still a little bit different. Yeah.
But it's a whole different world. And so when I used to reside in Japan, and when I came back from Japan, I realized I just couldn't go in the studio and do jingles like I had wanted to. So that's why I started pursuing voiceover work. I trained for audiobooks, animation, regular commercials. For everything that was specific, I trained for it. And I was also trained in animation by the same gentleman who coached the lady that does Bart Simpson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in L.A. So, yeah, just kept training, still learn.
That's the key. This is the thing. A lot of people, when they say, somebody told me that I have a great voice and I should be in voiceover, it's just like somebody told you you're a great singer and you should be a singer. Mm-hmm. But it's more than just the singing.
There's the training. Yes.
There's the understanding how you work with musicians.
That's right.
How the recording, there's so much to it that you have to be willing to put in that other work.
That's what we talk about,
showing up.
Exactly. There are certain etiquettes and protocols that sometimes you just don't get it just like that. You have to train. You have to pay attention. You have to be around the folks that do it to understand what all that means. So whenever someone says, oh, my friend says that I should do voiceovers because I have a great voice. Cute. I don't say that out loud to people, but I'm going cute because that is not what voiceover is all about. It's knowing how to take whatever's on that paper and lifting it up and making it come to life, because people do not see your face.
Yeah.
They only have their ears to rely on.
There was a great video I saw on Instagram, which was somebody reading an audiobook with all the different ways that they have to read it from different standpoints. And it was such an education for people that I sent it out to a lot of people to show. Good. It's not just that you have a great voice. It's not just that you're a great singer.
That's right.
You're, as we talked about, you're telling a story. And to tell a story, you have to keep people's attention.
Yeah.
And you have to understand the inflection of the voice. You have to understand the tone, the diction, everything that goes into it, because you're portraying emotion.
That's right.
It's one thing to sing live, for instance, at a karaoke bar. Mm-hmm. But when you have a project that, you know, used to be CDs, now it's streaming. Mm-hmm. When you have that and people are listening to it over and over and over, there's a big difference in somebody doing that in the inflections that, let's say, that a Whitney Houston will have, or, you know, a jazz artist like you, and understanding even the dimensions.
I tell all of the people, if you ask me, treat yourself like an athlete.
Yes.
You got to train, and you got to exercise. Especially for voiceover work, people ask me, what is it that I can do? I said, read something aloud every day. Because your tongue is your tool, you have to exercise it. There's a whole thing, process that's going on here. But your tongue is very important, and you really have to exercise. So
and show it to a friend. You know, have some accountability. Mm-hmm. When you're doing something like that, have somebody that's, you know, is going to be honest with you, not somebody that's just going to tell you what you want to hear.
Right.
You don't want somebody that's too horribly mean at the beginning, you know, of your creativity either.
Yeah.
But you still want somebody's opinion other than your own, because I know some drummers that think they're vocalists just because they want to be out in the front, and it's not their calling.
Right.
And so, you know, with that, you do need to have accountability. Mm-hmm. And you need to be doing stuff quite a few times before you're bringing it out in public. I believe in just getting started. You can go to karaoke. You can even go to open mic. But before you're ready to sell tickets, you know, or show up on your own show, there's some things that have to happen. Before you go in a voiceover studio, there's some things that have to happen.
This is right.
And experience is just, it's a valuable commodity.
You know, it's like for acting, there is an actor. There's a person called an actor. Then there's somebody called a skilled actor. A skilled actor knows where those cameras are. They know the proximity of everything. They know where to walk and hit their marks.
The
you know
lighting,
what I'm saying?
Like
everything.
I've had experiences on those films, and you know, when you're going from, say, extra work to something a little bit above that, when the director actually asks you what you think of the lighting, it's a big change.
Yeah.
But another thing, Viola Davis's book.
I've read it.
You know, that gives an insight
it
of,
is so real.
Hey, if you want to act, be a real actor, but the percentage of the people that make what you see in Hollywood, you know, those percentages are very small. So you have to love acting and be a real actor.
Yeah.
Whether, you know, even the singers, I tell them, if you are going to be this as your career, mm-hmm. you need to learn to read. Mm-hmm. And something you had touched on, I don't mean learn to read like you're illiterate, but mm-hmm. I mean get comfortable with reading
right.
a lot of books.
That's right.
Because what you talked about, training yourself to, you know, to be that athlete, mm-hmm. that's another part of it. Not just reading something out loud, but reading things so you have so many different things to pull from.
Absolutely.
Different emotions to pull from because you've watched certain movies and
yeah.
different, you know, cultures to pull from. That, like Justin Timberlake on his 2020 albums, he had some of these beats that mm-hmm. were kind of Middle Eastern, mm-hmm, you know, or mm-hmm. some of them you could tell were from Latin American countries, mm-hmm. and he was pulling from different things
right.
because he had a broad base to pull from.
Right. I remember the first audiobook that I did, I had to play characters from an 8-year-old little girl to an 80-year-old man. And of course, with audiobooks, you have to read the book ahead of time. You can't just go in and do a cold read. So it's grueling if you're not prepared. And so I know the work I have to put into it.
Yeah.
And I make notes and I study. Sometimes I have to look up words and pronunciations. You know,
once again,
it's part of the work.
That's showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you get more opportunities from that. Mm-hmm. And it, again, builds on your name. Mm-hmm. What you've done. When we come back, I want to talk about a new project that you have coming out as
okay.
well. Right now, we're going to take a quick break just so we can let everybody know a few things more that we do at rbeats.com.
Okay.
So we'll be right back after this. Welcome back to rbeats.com here on Local Music Somewhere. Guest in the studio today, actress, singer, voiceover artist, mentor, speaker, many other traits, many other talents, the multi-talented Maria Howe. We've been talking about branding and how important it is with your name, especially when you have multiple talents, which it seems like so many people have multiple talents.
Well, I was going to add local gardener, but...
Well, you know what? It might as well, because now you know, the next phase is you could have a book out on that.
I just want to grow my own food.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a lady I was reading about recently that turned her gardening post into a 7-figure business.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Give me her number after we finish.
I'll have to find out what that is for you. But in this, it is very important to brand yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But the best way to brand yourself, especially with your multiple talents, is pick some that you're great at, but really show up, as we've been talking about. We've said it a lot. We said the phrase show up a lot because that is the key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people that they will go do their craft, but they don't put in something to make their craft incredible. And even when mm-hmm. people tell me, you know, we're on Local Music Somewhere and I love local artists,
mm-hmm.
but I tell them, don't just tell me to support you because you're local.
Mm.
Ask me to support you because you're incredible.
Awesome.
And when you're incredible, people will show up for you because they know you're showing up.
I love it. And consistency, you know, and that's another thing too. Just consistency, even when, because there have been times, and I'm going to be transparent right here. There have been times that I have said yes to something. And I'm going, oh God, why did I say yes to that? But I still show up.
Yeah.
I may not do it again because I learned my lesson, but I still show up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Consistency. And another thing
too,
I think over the years, part of the reason, and I've said this to people before, part of the reason I think I'm consistently working is because people can trust me. That means something. You know, my dad used to always say, you don't have anything else but your word and your reputation. And I believed it. I took it to heart. And that's that.
Well, you know, you do have that reputation, and there are friends that really pull for you. One in specific, I got to give her a shout out, is Mary London, because
yeah.
she has said your name in my ear. I've known who you were for you know a long time. I've known about your music and everything for a long time, but she was consistently in my
Aww.
Ear. No matter what was going on, I was like, Terry, why is she not part of this? Why is she not part of that?
Was, Silky smooth,
like, you know what?
Mary.
You're right. Why is she not Aww. Part of that? Why are they not knowing that? There's many things she does and she shows up,
yeah.
but there are a lot of people. A whole lot of people that do know what you do, obviously, and that's why you've gotten so many jobs. You have a new project
mm-hmm.
Is it released or about to be released, this movie? And I'm talking about Summer Camp,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to talk more about that. This sounds like a lot of fun, and it looks like such a great cast.
It was total fun. Now, that was released about 3 weeks ago in the
okay.
theaters. Mm-hmm. And it's still playing somewhere, so people need to get out and see it. Go see it. Summer Camp stars Kathy Bates, Diane Keaton, Alfre Woodard, Beverly D'Angelo, and one of my dear friends, Victoria Rowell, and myself. Eugene Levy.
Oh, yeah, Eugene. He shines in anything. I even saw Nicole Richie.
Oh, yeah, Nicole Richie's in it. Josh Peck. Yeah.
Just
amazing cast.
Give them kind of a I guess you would say, not the theatrical preview, but, you mm-hmm. know, kind of a blurb about what this movie is about.
Well, it's about friendship. Sisterhood, friendship. These three, the first three ladies I mentioned, they, well, everybody at the camp, this is like a over 40, 50 year reunion. They all come back to camp. Yeah, that'd be a hot mess. Coming back to camp, trying to do all the things they used to do as a teenager. But it was a total blast. It was my first time ever whitewater rafting. And I'm like, where's my stunt double? No, seriously. I was like, where's my stunt double? And they were like, you're doing your own stunts. I'm like, stunts. I'm like, well, I think now I qualify for action movies. Because I prayed to God. I'm like, please do not let me die in this film. Anyway, that's another story.
I've seen pictures of you climbing mountains and stuff. So it's not like you couldn't be.
And that was in Spain. And I was praying on the side of that mountain, which I left a little piece of my DNA. I'm going, God, don't let me die on the side of this rock. Yeah, I don't know what it is about me. I feel like, yeah, just do it. Go ahead. But anyway, this movie is about friendships. We all come back together, and it's about having the fun, remembering the bonds we had as kids, how important they are. Yeah. So it's hilariously fun.
And especially in a day and age where there's so much disconnection, this has a great message.
Yeah, it does.
And so
it does.
You know how, you know, most of my audience has always been female in what mm-hmm. I do. And they love going to things in groups.
Mm-hmm.
And this sounds like a fun night out. You go to a restaurant, you go to this movie, and support Maria Howe and everything she does. I really believe in this person. I've seen her do amazing things. And as we say, show up.
Show up, show up.
Every time.
Show up,
so
yeah.
I'm a staunch believer. Yeah. Tell them about your website.
My website is easy, mariahowell.com.
Yes, it is.
That's MariaHowell.com.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, you were talking about Mary London and Mary London Sparrow. And during a couple of years ago now, I can't remember how long ago, because I've not counted time since the pandemic. Yeah, I don't even know how old I am. But anyway.
23.
Thank you so much. Mary had, you know, when her husband passed away, she wrote a collection of monologues, poems.
I love this book.
It is amazing. I tell you what, she has, and I love all the iterations because it started out as the book of poetry, then it went to stage, and then it became an audio book. And Mary, who has a silky, smooth voice, narrated it herself. And then she wanted to make it a short film. So she asked me to direct it. And I'm like, why? Do you want me to direct? So I did, because I love
That's
Mary.
Amazing.
So we're gonna.
I've seen it.
Yeah, it's amazing and it's a tearjerker, but it is so cleansing for anybody that's, you know, experienced loss. And it doesn't have to be limited to a husband or spouse. Rather, it could be loss. And just to hear these beautiful words that this woman created, and she's an artist also. Not just voiceover, but people that don't know Mary, just go to my website and ask me. I'll tell y'all.
I'm telling you, I've been
amazing.
To this woman's house. It's mm-hmm. it's like one of the Hobbit houses or something. It's
with
just
art.
The way. Oh, it's just it has that great look, mm-hmm. that homey feel, like you're out in the middle of the Shire or something, and it's just so cool.
Yeah.
And she's a great person as well.
So we're going to be doing a private screening of that,
and I will be there.
Good.
And I'll see
good,
you there.
Good. Yes. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, thank you very much for being here.
Well,
and
thank you.
I hope to see you at more things, and maybe we can be involved and do something together sometime soon. And we're going to leave today. We're going to leave out of this program. We're actually going to listen to you in a live performance.
Oh,
but
wow.
Before we do that, thanks for tuning in once again to Local Music Somewhere. I'm your host, Terry Hudson. You can see me on Instagram at DreammakerTH, or as my wife says, it looks like King James English, which is Dreammakereth. So the TH is for my last name, but come check us out and what we're doing there. And much love. See you next time. And as we go out, let's listen to Maria.
All right.
Free, unchain my heart, 'cause you don't care about me. You got me sewed up like a pillowcase, but you let my love go to waste. So unchain my heart and set me free. I'm under your spell.
always remember, with you, we are. Our Beats podcasting crew wants to take this moment to thank you for listening to our Beats Radio and Media Streaming Network.